The book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 3. And our text for this morning is verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Here's a blessing we've often prayed for. These words have often been quoted in our prayer meetings. Lord, pour us out the blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This particular verse deals with tithes and offerings. Subject of tithing. I've been here almost 14 years as a minister of the church, and I don't believe I've ever preached on the subject, feeling that I have never really needed to, because the congregation has certainly been good in its giving. But since we were dealing with the finances this morning in our special announcement, I thought it would be as good a time as any to deal with this particular matter. Perhaps we wonder, how do we arrive at the figure of a tenth of our income? Why do we give a tenth of our income? Why is it necessary to tithe to the Lord and to his work? Maybe some today, and you've maybe never studied the particular subject. You've just accepted it, we're to give a tenth, but never really studied it out and what the Bible has to say upon the matter. And perhaps of all the duties which are to be performed by the Lord's people, the duty of giving or tithing to the Lord's work is met maybe with less enthusiasm than any other duty we're called upon to perform. And it is a duty which some have fallen behind in because they fail to recognize the importance of it, and how it relates to the Lord's work. And at this juncture, I should say, I don't know what anyone gives to the work of the Lord here. It's not my business. So I don't know. I don't know what anyone gives between the individual and the Lord. But sadly, many Christians miss out with God. I mean that. Miss out with God because they have neglected this duty and so missed the blessing which goes along with it. Many Christians, and I could include myself in this, and you also, I'm sure, can give examples of how the Lord has been faithful in responding to sacrificial giving to the Lord's work. We can all tell stories of how the Lord has met our needs in times of financial difficulty. We have maintained our giving to the Lord's work. Oh, there's been the temptation, well, I'll cut back a little this week because things are tight and with needs to be met. But no, when we've been faithful in our tithing, it has been our testimony that the Lord has come and made it up to us, and sometimes in an extraordinary way. He's made it up to us. For you see, we all know the Lord is no man's debtor. And I think of particularly of my early days as a student. I remember that in my student days I got about $50 a week. And we had 3-4 children. And had to drive to Belfast, 72 miles there and 72 back again to the theological hall. And sometimes you wondered how were the needs going to be met, but the Lord was faithful. Not once were the cupboards empty, was there no food upon the table. The Lord met the need. He made it up to us while we maintained our tithing to the Lord's work. We have proven, believer, over and over again that the Lord is no man's debtor. And as I say, I can testify to that. But what has the Word of God to say about the matter of our giving? Is it to be regulated by sentiment and impulse, or by principle and conscience? Does God leave us to the spirit of gratitude and generosity? Or has He definitely specified what portion of His gifts to us are we to give to Him? Because we know that all that we have has come from the Lord. Has the Lord then specified what portion of His gifts are we then to give to Him and to His work? Surely God has not left this important matter to our own whim and fancy, but has fully made known His will on the matter. The Bible, we know, is given to us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And therefore He cannot have left us in darkness regarding any obligation or privilege in our dealings with Him or He with us. So I want to look at this subject. I want to begin by looking at what the Scriptures have to say about tithing and about giving. And you'll notice there in our reading that it has to do in verse 8 with tithes and offerings. We have the tithe and then our offering. We give a tenth of our income and then our offering. So what does the Bible say about this? First of all, we consider the practice of tithing. We can see that the Old Testament saints performed this duty, and we can learn from this practice. We see, first of all, from them, their example, their practice, the importance of tithing. For this, we will turn to the first reference to tithing. You turn, please, to Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14. Here we have Abraham appearing before Melchizedek. There's much debate as to who the true identity of Melchizedek. I believe personally this is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 18 of Genesis 14, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he," that is Abraham, "give him," that is the Lord, "tithes of all." Now the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrew believers, made mention of this meeting between Abram and Melchizedek. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 7. And there in Hebrews chapter 7, we read in verse 1, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness," that is, he gave a tenth part to the one who's the king of righteousness, "and after that also king of Salem," which is king of peace. Isn't it interesting that of all the things that Paul could have written about regarding this meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek, that Paul concentrates and focuses upon Abraham's tithing to the king of Salem or to Melchizedek? Indeed, if you read down through the verses, down to verse 9, we'll not take time to read today those verses, but you can read them at your leisure. You'll find that the first 9 verses, Paul is dealing with tithing, and Abraham tithing to Melchizedek. Now that in itself surely emphasizes the importance. Why didn't Paul deal with something else? There would have been many things that Paul could have spoken about and written about regarding that meeting. But he didn't. He focuses on Abraham's tithing. Abraham giving a tenth of all that he had to Melchizedek. Indeed, if you read those 9 verses, you'll discover that Paul uses the word tithe or tenth no less than 7 times. Does that then not tell us something about the importance of tithing to the Lord's work? So this is an important duty. This is an important obligation that we have to the Lord, to give a tenth of our income, a tenth of all the Lord's gifts to us, we're to give back to the Lord. So there's the importance of tithing. And then we turn to Jacob. Jacob again was a man who tithed to the Lord. You turn, please, to Genesis 28. In the example of Abraham, we see the importance of tithing. And when we look at Jacob, we see how he was inclined to tithe to the Lord. Genesis 28. Here's Jacob. He is fleeing from his brother Esau. He has put a stone under his head for a pillow and lay down under the open canopy of heaven. The Lord has appeared unto him and spoken to him. And we read then in verse 16, Genesis 28, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And so Jacob believed that night he had met with God. And this was a prelude to that other meeting he had with God, when the Lord wrestled with Jacob all night and touched the hollow of his thigh until it was out of joint, and Jacob became a changed man. But here's the first meeting he had with God. And look at verse 20. You might read verse 19, "And he called the name of that place Bethel," which means the house of God. He called that place the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now here's Jacob, and he's saying, the Lord shall be my God. And what was the first duty that Jacob was going to attend to upon his making the Lord his God? Verse 22, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. He has just said, the Lord shall be my God. And he sets up that stone and he says, this shall be the house of God. Notice again the connection between Jacob saying, the Lord shall be my God, and tithing. Notice the connection between the house of the Lord and tithing. The first duty that Jacob attended to upon his saying, the Lord shall be my God, was tithing. He was inclined. He was led. He could see the need to tithe. Now that he said the Lord would be his God, Jacob's actions saying to us that when a man makes the Lord his God, then part of that new relationship is taken up with tithing. It's a duty that is to be performed. Does Jacob not show us the way? Set us an example. If we love the Lord, if we know the Lord, then when it comes to our duties being performed as God's people, we're to perform the duty of tithing. And so we have in Abraham's case the importance of tithing. In Jacob's case, he was inclined to tithe. That now leads us to instruction about tithing. The Lord has given instruction. When you think of it, here's Abraham and he has appeared before Melchizedek. Why did Abraham decide on a tenth? Why not some other percentage? And this, of course, was consistent with Jacob's giving. He said he would give a tenth as well. This wasn't guesswork. This surely wasn't based on any whim or fancy of Abraham or Jacob. They must have been instructed. And the Lord has given instruction. We're not told when the Lord instructed Abraham or when he instructed Jacob, but we can certainly see throughout Scripture the Lord has indeed taught his people, instructed them with regard to the duty of tithing. Turn please to Leviticus chapter 27. Leviticus chapter 27. And verse 30. The Lord is speaking to his people, and all the tithes of the land, Leviticus 27 and 30, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. The tenth is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. And so here's the Lord's instruction. The Lord is instructing his people and he's saying, the tenth is the Lord's. And then he repeats the phrase, it is holy unto the Lord. You'll see how here Israel were to give a tenth of all that they had, all their flocks and their sheep and their cattle. A tenth was the Lord's. what the Lord had blessed them with. The Lord had given them the increase amongst their herds, and they were to give a tenth of their increase. What the Lord had blessed them with was to give to the Lord. It was the Lord's. It was the Lord's. Indeed, it was holy unto the Lord. I get to turn to Matthew. All the references we have given thus far have been in the Old Testament. And people might say, well, that's all right for the Old Testament, but what is the Lord to say in the New Testament about tithing? Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. And verse 23. The Lord says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cummin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, that is, attend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other. What other? The tithing undone. The Lord was rebuking the scribes and the Pharisees because they had neglected the weightier matters of the law and of judgment and of mercy and faith. The Lord was rebuking them because they had neglected these things. And the Lord says, you ought to attend to these things, but you must not leave the other undone. The Lord is saying here, you must continue to tithe as well as attend to the weightier matters. Surely that's clear enough. These are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord Jesus says we are to attend to these matters. Leave not these things undone. And the word of the Lord makes it clear that it is by the tithing of God's people that the work of the Lord is supported and maintained. You turn, please, to Numbers 18. Numbers chapter 18. And there in Numbers 18 and verse 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites. The Levites were the servants of the Lord in the temple that conducted the worship services. All the other tribes were given an inheritance in the land of promise. They were all given portions except the Levites. They were the servants of the Lord, if you like, that carried out the, led the service of worship in the temple. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes, which I have given you from them for your inheritance. In other words, the Levites were supported by the tithing of the people. That's how the work of the Lord was supported. Which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Now go down the chapter to verse 31. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. That's how the Levites were looked after, through the tithing of the people. That's how the work of God was supported in the temple or the tabernacle, by the giving of God's people. Now we have a parallel with this in the New Testament. This is the wonderful thing about the Holy Word of God. New and old, doesn't matter, it's all consistent. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? There's the parallel. That which is brought into the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. That is, the Levites partook of the sacrifices, the offerings that were brought into the temple. And now here Paul applies it to the gospel dispensation. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Or the word live there is the word feed. Feed of the things of the temple. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Once again, we see the work of God is supported by the giving of God's people, by the tithing. Tithe isn't mentioned here, but you can see the parallel with those verses we read in Numbers 18. Now I go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. This is a good verse to use for the Seventh-day Adventists. The one I like to use, and they don't have a great answer. They, of course, meet to worship on the Saturday. The Lord's Day is the first day of the week. And now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. It's an order. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Once again, the word tithe is not mentioned here, but you can see what Paul is saying. That which you lay by you in store. That is a definite action. You lay by. You set aside a portion of what you have received. You lay by. Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. There's the Lord's goodness. There's the Lord's gifts to us. As the Lord has prospered us. And as we said at the beginning, everything we have has come to us from the Lord. Everything. It's the goodness of God, according to the Lord's good pleasure. He's prospered us. He's blessed us. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. First day of the week, when you come together to worship, what you have laid by you in store, bring and give it to the Lord in your worship service. I feel that is very clear. That is how God's work is supported. The individual congregation, Paul here is dealing with the congregation at Corinth. And as he also mentioned there, the churches of Galatia. That's how the local assembly is supported. Supported by those who worship there. And Paul here is calling upon the believers at Corinth to support their work. The witness there in Corinth by their giving, by what they have left by them in store. Paul said the same thing to the churches in Galatia. That's how our work is supported. And we praise the Lord. It's been supported very well over the years. So we have the practice, then we have the precept. We've touched upon the precepts there with regard to giving. I don't know if you noticed in all the references we give there in Genesis 14 and 20, Genesis 28 and 22, Leviticus 27 and 30, there's one word that was common to all those references. Let's just look at Genesis 14. And this one word speaks to us of the scope of our giving. In Genesis 14, Abraham meeting with Melchizedek. Verse 20, "And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Go over to Genesis. "Set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou gavest me, will I surely give the tenth unto thee." It's the word "all." Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. Jacob says, "Of all that thou hast given me, I will give a tenth unto thee." You'll find the same thing in Leviticus 27 and verse 30. The Israelites were to give a tenth of all. Now we know what the temptation is. We all have our bills to pay. We hate seeing those envelopes coming in that has a little window in them. That says, no, that's a bill. It's that time of the month again, or it's that time of the week again. And the temptation is to pay the bills out of our income and then give the Lord a tenth of what's left. But that's not what the Lord says we're to do. The Lord says we're to give a tenth of all. Then the bills are paid after that. In other words, we're to give the Lord the first fruits of what we have. That's what the children of Israel had to do with their corn and their crops and their cattle. Did they give the Lord the first fruits? Did they give him a tenth of all they had? Then their bills or whatever had to be paid after that. And so that's the scope of our giving. And then when we come back to our reading in Malachi, we must take note of the slackness in giving. Because we began our reading there in verse 8. Malachi 3 verse 8. The Lord says, "Will a man rob God?" The Lord says, "Will a man rob God?" It's as if he's saying this is unheard of. This just could not be that anyone would think of robbing God. Will a man rob God? But the Lord says, "Yet ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" The Lord answers, "In tithes and offering."
There's a slackness there. You look back in Malachi 3 to verse 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? The law and the ordinances and the precepts of the Lord that they had not kept. They wanted to know, what were they? The Lord says, you've gone away from these laws, these ordinances of mine. And Israel says, what are they? And then the Lord says, well, a man robbed God. This is the ordinance. This is the duty you've neglected. You've gone away back from this. You've neglected this duty of tithes and offerings. It is a fact that when people's spirituality is in decline, it affects their giving. When someone following the Lord afar off is no longer walking with God, no longer in fellowship with Him, it will affect their giving. You remember our study of the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah came upon the scene when the nation was far away from God. And under Hezekiah's leadership and ministry and prayer, the nation enjoyed a time of revival and restoration. And when that time of reviving came, it is interesting that one of the first things they attended to was to restore their giving to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 31 in verse 5. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of the corn. There it is, the first fruits. As we mentioned there a few minutes ago, we're to give the Lord the first fruits, the tithe of all. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. They didn't skimp in their giving. They brought in abundantly. And again, verse 6, and concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithes of oxen and sheep and the tithes of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them in heaps. Look at verse 10. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat, brought their offerings into the house of the Lord. Services of the Lord's house are maintained by the giving of God's people. And Azariah, the chief priest, said that since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord has blessed His people. And we said at the outset, those who do not tithe miss out with God. There's blessing in store for those who tithe to the Lord's work. Isn't that what the Lord said? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me, if I will not pour you wide open the windows of heaven and pour you wide a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. Here the children of Israel in Hezekiah's day go back again to tithing. It was a mark of revival. It was a mark of spiritual restoration. A mark of their spiritual decline was that they no longer tithed. Why should they have forsaken the feast of the Passover? They'd got so far away from God. Turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 10. And there in Nehemiah 10, once again, we know what the theme of the books Nehemiah and Ezra is. It's the theme of revival, it's the theme of restoration. And of course, Nehemiah was once again setting in order those things that were lacking with regard to their worship of the Lord. And in Nehemiah 10, and there in verse 37, and that we should bring the first fruits of our dough and our offerings and the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine and of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God. Nehemiah says we should do this. And the tithe of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. Once again, it was a mark of revival. And so, we have the scope of our giving. And then we noted here the slackness sometimes in our giving, gone away from the ordinances of the Lord. And Malachi then deals with the sin with regard to tithing, or the sin of not tithing. Will a man rob God? We are honest people. We never dream of robbing anyone, taking from anyone that which does not belong to us. Yet if we neglect the duty of tithing, we're taking from God that which doesn't belong to us. What is it called there in Leviticus? It's called holy unto the Lord. Our tithe is the Lord. If we withhold that tenth, any portion of it, we're stealing from God. Then finally, and very briefly, we have the promise in tithing. The promise that comes with tithing. There in our text, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Notice again the reference to the Lord's house. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's the blessing. Regarding this promise of blessing, notice the call. The Lord calls his people. And he says to them, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's what he said at the beginning of the verse. And at the end of the verse, he says, I'll pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive. What does that tell us? It tells us the Lord wants to bless. He wants to bless his people. And he's saying to them, if you bring your tithes into my house, I'll bless you. And look, he's calling on them. to bring their tithe, because he wants to bless them. He's waiting to be gracious. There's the call. There's the challenge. Prove me. Here we have an amazing challenge. Here we have the Lord saying to his people, prove me. Put me to the test. That's what the word means. Test me. An amazing challenge, that. He called upon his people to test him. Prove me. If you bring the tithes into the storehouse, I will open the windows of heaven. With the windows of heaven here mentioned in the last book of the Old Testament. The windows of heaven are mentioned in the first book of the Old Testament. Genesis 7, when the flood came, God opened the windows of heaven and flooded the earth. Here's the same phrase again, the windows of heaven, and he'll pour out. The word pour there means to empty out. If the Lord caused the deluge to fall of rain and water to fall upon the earth in Noah's day, here the Lord is saying, prove me and I will pour out a deluge of blessing on you. Prove me. Put me to the test. He's wanting to bless us. And oh, for that day. And then there's the certainty of it. Certainty. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye may, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, I'll do it for you. You will enjoy the blessing personally. You'll be blessed personally. Pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive. And that's true, because there were those men in revival times who prayed for revival. And when revival came and God poured out his Spirit, I have read the testimony of men who in prayer they had to ask God to stay his hand. Ask God to stay his hand because of the deluge of blessing. They couldn't, as it were, cope with it. That's what we want, believers. Let us give ourselves to the work of the Lord here in 2007. Pray down the blessing. Do what we can to further the work of the cause of Christ. Let us together, under God and by His grace, make 2007 the best year of all in the history of our witness here. Let us pray.